Tonight, we want to talk about the believer's order of love. The believer's order, our relationship, and the order that God has set forth for every man. 1 John chapter 3. And if somebody can read from verse 1 through 15.
Behold, what manner of love the Father has
bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doeth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither know him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. And this the children of God are manifested, the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that he heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life. Because we love the brethren, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him.
Amen. And if somebody can read, just read 16 through 23.
Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. For whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment.
Amen. All right, we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Most gracious and eternal Father, God, we thank you. Father, we come tonight, Lord, just seeking you, seeking your face, seeking your will, seeking your word. Oh God, even going through this time, working, all the things that we're doing, oh God, we pray right now, God, that you would just rejuvenate us. our spirit, energize us, oh God, to be attentive to your word. Lord, that your word will just continue to envelop in our hearts, that your love, oh God, will continue to be spread abroad in us, God, through validation, affirmation, oh God, knowing how much you love us. God, we thank you because you told us, oh God, you prayed for us that we would know the length, the depth, the width, the height, the very depth of your love, every angle, every facet, every dimension of your love. God, we pray right now that you would just bring us to a greater, just a greater exploration of your love, the deepness of it, the vastness of it, oh God, and the validation of it. God, we thank you for everybody on the line, Father, because it's knowing you, it's knowing what you've done, it's knowing who we are in you, God, that opens, that really opens our hearts, opens our minds to you, where you can further come and live in us and bring fellowship, oh God. And it's that fellowship, it's that place, God, that you regulate our minds, that you give us discernment and direction, oh God, that we will be compelled to die, oh God, that you may live through us, that you may touch somebody through us in this dying world. God, we love you and we bless you and we praise you. Amen. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 starts off, and in this book of 1 John chapter 1, it's something how it almost mimics, the book of John. When you look at the word of God and how John talked about the word and how it mimics St. John chapter 1, when he talks about the word, and in John chapter 3, right? We all know John 3:16 says, for God so what? Loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And so you see a lot of cross reference between 1 John and St. John when he talks about the word. He talks about the world. He talks about Christ being the Savior. And he also talks about love, the love, the love. For God so loved the world that he gave. And if you look at John 3, 1, it says, behold, where he starts off, 1 John 3, 1, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And listen, I'm telling y'all, when he says, what manner of love, John stands, he stands in amazement. Listen, and if John, who was with Christ, and he wrote this after the death of Christ, he was still in amazement for how much Jesus Christ, how much the Lord loved him. Amen? So when he says, behold, what manner of love is this? The Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. So he stands in amazement of this love. He stands in amazement of God bringing us into this relationship with the Son and the Father. Amen. But the greater amazement and appreciation is for the fact that God's love is expressed to humans, to us, and the Christians are not. Are included. We are included in his family. So not only did he love us to save us, he could have loved us and saved us and said, you guys are individuals, but he loved us and saved us, but he bought us into his family. And when he bought us into this family, he says, you should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knoweth him not. Right? So we're called into his family. We're affirmed. Right? We're validated. He placed his stamp of his of seal on our lives. Then he goes on to say, beloved, he calls us beloved. Now are we the sons of God, right? And it doeth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. So not only are we his sons, but we're going to be like him. We're going to look like him. For we shall see him as he is. And guess what? Verse 3 says, and every man that has this hope in himself, he purifies himself even as he is pure. The love of God. That's the hope. Listen. And what he's talking about when he says, behold, what manner of love is this? The Father has bestowed. He's bestowed, bequeathed. He's given us, right? On us, on the believer, right? That we've received it through our surrendering to him, to giving up our will and choosing to follow him. He's bequeathed this love on us, and he's called us his son. What does it mean to be looked in the eye and called son, my daughter, my son? What does that mean? Right? What does that do to a young person? It makes you proud. It makes you validated, right? It makes you affirmed because you know that, guess what? I don't have to try to be like somebody else. I don't have to do other things to win somebody's approval. I don't have to get my head covered from head to toe, or even preachers that are insecure and try to control people, or whoever you are, whatever position, you don't have to walk around with your guard up. You've been validated. You've been affirmed. And I'm telling you, the highest level, bar none, of validation is the validation that God has for us. Amen. We thank God for parents. We thank God for mamas and big mamas and fathers that validate their children. But guess what? There's a lot of parents that have missed that assignment, right? There's a lot of parents that have missed the assignment of validating their children. There are. And some of them consciously did it. Some of them unconsciously. Some of them maybe you grew up without a father in the home. But guess what? I'm here to tell you that regardless of what they did or what they didn't do in the home, this word of God, the love of Jesus Christ, he is here to validate you. And that's what this is. Listen, this verse, these two verses, verse 3 and verse 1, I'm sorry, and verse 2, these are some of the greatest verses of validation given to us in Scripture. When he says what manner, he was baffled. John was baffled. John was with Christ. But as he grew and seeing what he did and being crucified and dying for us to forgive us, he's baffled that Christ would die, bestow it upon us, that we should be called sons, to invite us into this fellowship, to invite us into this relationship. The world knows us not, because guess what? The world don't have what we have. The world don't have this validation. The world don't have this affirmation. So when we talk about, when he says, beloved, now are we, right? The son, the ultimate family, God's family. Maybe your mother and your father forsaken you. But guess what? The Lord has taken you up and he has placed you below. Now are we the sons of God. And it doeth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be what? We like shall him. Be like him. So he's saying we're loved. He died for us. What manner of love is this? We're sons. We're daughters of the Most High. And not only that, when he appears, we're going to be like him. So everybody that has this hope, right? Everybody, listen, and what it's saying is, everybody that has this validation, everyone that have this hope, not just, oh, this is what he's going to do. No, this is what he's done. He's already made provision, and he did it through love. This whole thing, listen, this whole thing that we're doing, church, religion, relationship, our salvation hinges on the fact that God loved us. Period. He loved us, and he initiated his love, because God is love. It all started with him. And it started by way of love. Amen. So it initiated with him. It started with him. And because it started with him, we must be replaced. We must grow in relationship and fellowship. The title of tonight's Bible study is The Believer's Order of Love. Right? And so this is the hope. Every man that had this hope in himself is purified. Hallelujah. That means he's purified. He's pure. And listen, and when you're stamped, sealed, and you're pure with this love, turn to Galatians chapter 4. Everybody turn to Galatians chapter 4, verse 3 says, even so, Galatians chapter 4, verse 3 says, even so we, when we were children, guess what, y'all? We were in bondage. We were in bondage. We were in bondage under the elements of the world, Satan's playground, the prince and the power of his air. We were in bondage. And guess what, church? This world is still in bondage. Listen, this world is in bondage. This world is in, the sun is up, right? We see the light. But they're living in darkness and they're blind and don't know it. And guess what? The worst kind of bondage there is to be bound and blind and you don't know it. That's the worst kind of bondage there is. And that's the bondage. Listen, it's one thing to be physically bound. Yes, the children of Israel, they were physically bound when they were in Egypt. But guess what? They got out of Egypt. They were physically free. But guess what? They were still bound spiritually. They were still in darkness spiritually. Amen. And what? When you look at this world, when you look at what's going on now, I can go back 20 years and say the stuff that's going on now wasn't going on 20 years ago. But when you look at now, speed it up 30 years, and we can say, well, y'all always say that. No. The things we're seeing right now, we've never seen them. We've never seen them. Amen. And it's like, when I went to that auditorium and it was dark in there, I couldn't see a thing. But then as I sat there, found my wife, she was sitting over here, sat down, my eye, and she said, that's such and such over there. That's such and such over there. And I'm like, where? I can't see them. After 10 minutes went past, 20 minutes went past, like, oh, I see them now. My pupils adjusted. My eyes adjusted. And before that thing was over, it was like 2 hours long, I could see everybody clearly and understand who they were. You know why? Because my eyes adjusted to the darkness in the room. And it was like second nature. And then it was not until I got out of the auditorium that I was blinded to the light now. Now my eyes have... Listen, the state of America, we've adjusted our spiritual perception to a level of degradation that we've never known. We have. And I'm not going to get into it. We can go down the list. We can go down the list of perversion, of sinful and lustful and sensuality lifestyles. We can go down the list. And listen, and that which used to be condemned is now celebrated. And that which used to be celebrated is now condemned. And how can we take a rainbow, the very thing that brought about the flood, and God's promise, and change it, and make it into something that's representing a sinful lifestyle? How can we do it? Amen. People are blind. Anyway, in this Galatians chapter 4, he says this. Listen, even when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Christ came. He took on every weight, everything that we could take on. He took on this flesh to redeem them that were under the law. That we might receive the what? Adoption. Adoption, yeah. Of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Amen. Listen, listen, listen. So guess what? When we talk about 1 John chapter 3, it says, now are you the sons of God, right? Guess what? Being the sons of God, it's more than the words on the page, right? It's more than me telling you. It's more than me preaching it. It's more than you say, I know it, right, mentally. But guess what? You have adoption and validation living on the inside. Listen, and you can write this down. This is a point for tonight. Validation comes in the form of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So we have a witness on the inside. We're not talking about a worldly adoption. Amen. We're not talking about a worldly adoption. But listen, y'all write this down. It's a spiritual adoption. Amen. Beyond the genetics. So we ain't got to worry about the child not looking like the father. Amen. Not only did the child look like the father, the child acts like the father. You ain't got to worry about taking the child to Murray trying to find out who the baby daddy is. Amen. We've been born from up above. Ephesians chapter 1 says, listen, Ephesians chapter 1 says we've been sealed unto the what? Day of what? Redemption. That seal, we've been validated, we've been affirmed, we've been affixed unto the day of adoption through the blood of Jesus Christ. We have a living validation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have a living validation. We have a living affirmation living on the inside. It's more than just head knowledge. It's more than just something you read on a paper or on the page. But it's something that lives in us. Amen. And then you wonder why the church has even lost its way. And the reason why people want to stay on the surface. Because in order to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, we have to die. But guess what? If we're not in love, you won't die. It's the love of 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, for the love of Christ constrains us. The love of Christ compels us. And it's the love of Christ. We got to grow in love. That we thus judge. That if Christ died for one, we are all dead. We have a living adoption. We have a living validation. And we have a living affirmation. That's what we have. It's on the inside. It's on, and it's only way that grows, the only way that love is manifest and we're brought into a greater, deeper love affair is getting in the Word of God, getting intimate with Him. Amen. Let's turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14 says this. Listen. Verse 15 says, if you keep my love, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you what? Another comforter. That's what we have on the inside of us. Another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it receiveth him not, neither knoweth him. But guess what? You know him. Why do you know him? Because he dwells with you and shall be in you. Hallelujah. So he dwells with you and he lives in you. That's the living validation, the love of Jesus Christ. Guess what, y'all? It lives in me. And I will not leave you what? Comforted, but I will come unto you. Amen. Then he goes on to say, he says, verse 23, if a man love me, skip down, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And what that's saying is, that don't mean he will come to us because we love him more, we get more of him. What that's saying is, no, we already have him if we're saved, for real, right? But what he does is he manifests. He manifests himself through us by getting in the word and obeying his word. By getting intimate with him and obeying his word. When we do that, guess what? You can do and preach and say all you want. But till the rubber hits the road, there must be obedience in your life to do what the Lord says do. And it's the obedience, amen, where he validates you. And thank God, man, I'm telling you, and through that validation comes the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, you worried about something? You're wrestling about something? You're worried about how you're going to pay this bill and what you're going to have money for and what your child is doing and what this child is doing and what they're doing on your job and your car broke down and all these things. Guess what? Man, that validation, that affirmation of love, his grace, his joy. Man, guess what? I don't worry about it. You ain't got to worry about it. Because you have something on the inside. And when you can get to the place where you see God, you see Christ, you see this love, you're affirmed and you're fixed, guess what? Everything else pales in comparison, magnified. And that problem that was like this now becomes like this. Because you're eclipsed by the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. We don't have to worry about tomorrow. We just live from day to day. We don't have to borrow from his sunshine, for his clouds will soon pass away. Amen. But we can just put our hope and our trust in Jesus. Man, I have a peace in me right now. The pastor got it. I got to know how much I'm loved. Regardless of what the obstacle, guess what? Jesus has fixed it.
Yeah.
It's already all right. Y'all know that? It's already all right. Doctor's report. It's already all right. Thank you, Father. Amen. Because of the love of Jesus Christ. And that's where we got to get. That's where we have to live. We have to live there. We have to dwell there. And it's through that relationship that, and we can go back to the text, right? Through that relationship in 1 John chapter 3, that everything else can now be dealt with. 1 John chapter 3. So and I don't have time to go through it, but we talk about the sin and the child of God. Verse 4 says, whosoever commits sin transgresses the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. In Christ was no sin. All because we purified our heart. We've been validated. We've been firmed and we're fixed and we're going to look like him. And that's why it says, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. We don't sin no more, y'all. Not saying we ain't never going to sin, but we no longer, and what it's talking about, we no longer practice that lifestyle. So when it says, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not, verse 6, whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither do you know him. So if somebody can say, I'm living by grace, what about grace? Y'all don't preach about grace and mercy. Thank God I know I ain't perfect. Guess what? You can't continue to live in sin. You can't be saved and continue to say you're saved. Just hold harborage and unforgiveness and not speak to people in your own family. You can't say that. Amen? Because that validation won't let you. Verse 9 says, whosoever is born of God doeth not what? You do not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him. That seed of belonging, that seed of fellowship, that seed of affirmation, it abides in me and he cannot sin. Because he is what? We're born from up above. We are born of God. I'm born again. Still not yet appear what I'm going to be, but I already got him on the inside. I'm already changed. Amen. And to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. But this is what he says. And the Bible says that which is born of the flesh is what? Flesh. If you're born of the flesh, you still have the wrath of God hanging over your head. You're still blind. You're still living in darkness. But if you're born again, you're free from up above. Whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. That's how you know you're saved. That's how you know you're validated. You don't have a desire to do that. Not saying that you won't be tempted, but if you are tempted and your heart condemns you, we got to know that we have confidence toward God, that greater is God than my heart. He's greater than my heart. He died for me. And listen, and in verse 10 says, in this is the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. This is how you'll separate them. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. So number one, y'all write these down. Number one, you can't continue in a sinful lifestyle. Number two, you have love for your brother. Listen, there ought not be anybody that you still, when you hear that name, there's a strife. There's a raccoon running across your heart, right? Because you have love for the brother. So that's how you know. And this, the children of God are manifest. And here the children of the devil are manifest. And whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that you should what? You should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one. The wicked one, that's the devil. He wasn't born of God, but he slew his brother, and wherefore he slew him, because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you, we know that we have passed. Y'all see this? If the world can't understand you, if you're convicted, or if they're convicted by your lifestyle and your life, and if they hate you, know that we have passed from death unto life. That's something. That'll preach all by itself. Because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth where? In death. Turn to John chapter 5:24. I say unto you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but he's passed from death unto life. People are still walking in death. We have family members still walking in death. That's why it's important for us to have a relationship with Christ, that they might see life and be drawn to that life, that they'll be pulled from death unto life. To be pulled out of death, like Lazarus. Well, he was in the grave, right? And Jesus spoke the word, Lazarus, come forth. The word went behind. That was us. That was our state, where we were, where the Spirit spoke and we confessed and repented to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. That's all Christ and none of us. That we responded to the gospel. Amen. That we've passed from death unto life. For by grace are we saved through faith, not of ourselves, but it's the gift of God. Amen. And so when we say here, for we know that we pass from death to life because we love the brethren, that means you can't listen. That means you just can't hold stuff like a bad refrigerator. You can't. How? Listen, I can understand you're upset. You might be down and somebody disappointed you for a little while, but you just can't hold it. Somebody told me that one time. If I'm bragging, I'm bragging about Jesus. They said, man, you just move on. You keep moving. You know, that stuff, you know, I treated you wrong or whatever. You just kind of, you know. And because of that, right, they were drawn to somebody in me, not me. And if you can just hold on to her hurt and harbor it, you got to check yourself. Check your relationship if you can hold on to it, right? And then we got to keep going. Hereby we perceive the love of God because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's deep. And whosoever hath this world's goods and seeth his brothers have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion for him. And guess what, y'all? Yes, you ought to give. Yes, you ought to be able to help people in their time of need. Not just say, brother, I'm going to bless you and praise you. Pray for you. Some people, we're good at that. Hey, can I borrow a couple dollars? I'm going to pray for you. Sometimes we got to dig down in our pockets, right? And help the person out. Amen. But what I really come to realize and recognize, we got a food pantry. We got so many resources in Bristol. But this verse, when he says, whosoever seeth this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his own bowels, that means people don't have a compassion for people. The need in Bristol is not material.
Mm-hmm.
The need in Bristol is not to produce more activities for our kids. That's not the need in Bristol.
Man.
The need in Bristol is for deliverance. Yeah. And for the preaching of the gospel, mm-hmm. that people will come to Jesus Christ. The need in Bristol is for the church, people, to be broken, that Christ's life might be lived out through them, that they will see Christ for real. It's not just about community Baptist church. All of the churches. Amen. People's got to see people living for something, the saints living for something and loving them. That's the compassion that he's talking about here. Amen. And then the last part of this says, beloved, verse 21, and we're going to stop right here. If our hearts condemn us, so when I said earlier, we were talking about whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. And for his seed remaineth in him, he cannot sin because he's born of God. So what John is saying, you can't practice a sinful lifestyle. Mm. And guess what? We're not perfect. David sinned. He sinned with Bathsheba. There was lust there. There was lies there. There was deceit there. There was murder there. And guess what? The Lord showed me the other week how each one of those curses, the curse of lust, Amnon lusted after Tamar. These were David's children. And Amnon raped his own sister. Mm-hmm. There was lust, weeping his head again in David's own house, right? There was a spirit of murder that David had Uriah kill. Here comes this spirit of murder again. When Absalom killed Amnon, generational curses that came to his own house because of his sin. And then when we talk about the sin of deceit, he was deceitful and he lied. We see Absalom standing at the gate that everybody that came by the gate that he would win favor with the people because he had beautiful long hair. Amen. And he deceived the people and he took David's kingdom wives. Amen. So you see all those things coming back. And that's why it's so important to repent and confess of our sins, not just for your life, but for your children's lives and your grandchildren's lives, that sin won't go to the fourth and the fifth generation. So when he says here, verse 21, we talk about sin. If you do sin, and if you got something in your heart, listen, David had to get it right. And listen, and Nathan told him that it's going to come back to your house. Not a whole lot. You know, you're going to reap what you sow. More than what you sow. Later than what you sow. That don't mean if I confess my fault before God, right, that you won't suffer the consequence of sin. There's still some consequences that are coming back. But hallelujah, David was delivered to a place that when those consequences came, he could deal with them out of a godly heart. Amen. That's the difference. Mm-hmm. That's the difference. Even when your consequences, well, I'm reaping, here it come. You can see it coming back. Here come that consequence. I didn't pay my mortgage for 5 months. Here come the consequence. Yes, it's coming. Amen. But even in the consequences, God will give you peace. He'll give you discernment. He'll lift you above to show you how to deal with the consequences of your past. And he'll give you peace and joy even in the midst. That's why David could pen so many psalms, even when he was out in the wilderness, being kicked out of his own home. But when he says, and hereby we know that we are the truth. We are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Then he says, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. So when he says in 20, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart. And when he means God is greater than our heart, he kicks us back to John 1:9. That guess what? Listen. This word is so powerful. When we talk about this validation, we talk about this intimate relationship. Listen, the word of God is like a beachcomber. And it searches and it tries the heart when you're intimate and in love. I can only speak for myself. I can't speak for y'all. I can teach you, but I can tell you for myself that this word, it searches my heart, right? And when I get to a place or I'm praying in meditation and God shows me something about myself, my heart will condemn me. Sometimes you can't really put your finger on what it is, but the word, the Lord will reveal it. And he says that's called conviction. He says, if your heart condemns you, right, God is greater than your heart because the blood of Jesus covers, but as it condemns, that thorn, that splinter has to come out that God might deal with it, that I might repent of it and confess it. That's what it means. That's why in verse 22, he says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and we do the things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us the commandment. And he that keepeth his commandment dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth. Y'all see this? Listen, this passage has gone full circle. Now we can go back to the top, right? That he abideth in us by the what? Spirit, which he hath given us. By the validation that he, the affirmation that he has given us. Amen. And guess what? This whole chapter was produced when you talk about verses 1 and 2, our validation of love of Jesus Christ. Believer's order of love. Amen. We talk about the believer's order of love, right? Love relationship. That's our first circle. Our first circle is with the love, is intimacy. That's why we can't talk about it's the love of Christ that compels us, that constrains us. If we thus judge that if Christ died for one, we are all what? We all dead. We are all dead. And so it's the love. It's knowing how much he loved us, right? That manifests, that compels us. I'm willing to die. I'm willing to give up. Listen, we talk about the flesh versus the spirit, and the spirit lusts against the flesh. When Paul says, therefore I find in me another law, that even when I try to do what? Good, evil is what? Always present. That's our number one battle. And guess what? You can't win that battle unless you come by way of the cross. You've got to submit and surrender. You got to fall in love, be validated, know who you are. Because if you don't know who you are, you won't die. We come to the cross, right? So we got 2 Corinthians 5:14. We got Matthew 16:24. If any man come after me, he must first what?
I hope so.
Take up his what? Cross and follow me. And then Luke, it says, you've got to take up your cross every single day. And so it's our intimacy. Yes. Our validation produces death to myself. We can't live. We can't go through life living. We can't go. I can't show up on this job. Man, look, if I show up on this job, the job that I have, I will be telling some people off. Listen, this is the order. The order is not my wife. The order is not my children. The order is not definitely in my church. Amen. Guess what? If I'm going to love y'all, I got to come through the cross to die. Now his love comes out that I can love my wife right. Ephesians chapter 5. Amen. Wives, serve your husbands as unto the Lord. Husbands, love your wives as Christ what?
Love the church.
For he what? Gave himself for the church. That's the order for the home. I've got to love my wife and my children unconditionally. And then those people that come out there, the kids that come out there on VBS on that property, we've got to love them unconditionally. We've got to see past their behavior. And we've got to know in the spirit that you're wrestling, you're dealing with the environment that they come out. Not all of them, but a lot of them. Amen. And then the church, community. And then I put mission. And in front of mission, I put cup. Amen? So it's the validation when we know who we are in Christ. Amen? You'll be compelled to go through the cross. And that produces the greatest love in my home, my loved ones, my family, church, my church, community, and then co-mission. Amen. Listen, it's not about being seen. It's not about who's calling your name. But when you're validated in that love, what manner of love is this that we should be the sons of God? Amen.